the Bible declares unto us that we ought to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And then into his courts with praise. I don't think that we ought to look at that as just a suggestion. I think we ought to look at that as a commandment. As we get there, just to get to his gates, we ought to be thankful that he's allowed us to get there another time. And then as we enter into his courts, into the place where he is, there ought to be something in us that just wants to give him praise for what he's already done. Amen. I'm thankful for what I felt in this place already. So thankful for the presence of the Lord here last night, especially around the altar service. And I want to tell us the only way we're going to get anywhere is when we pray. The preaching is not the precipice of the service. That's not the focal point. But if we're just hearers of the word, it's not done us much good. But when we become doers of the word of God and get around that altar and start applying it to our lives, that's where things begin to happen. Amen. I thought as I heard somebody, I think it may have been Sister Edna talking about, she just wants to be busy doing something for God. And I thought to myself, I heard somebody say that a seed in hand will never produce anything from the ground. I'll let that sink in a minute. Because some of us have something here. We need to plant it. Most of us are here tonight because somebody planted something in us. They took the time. They made the investment. They prayed. But a seed in hand isn't going to do you any good. It'll never produce anything from the ground. The other thing I want to let us know while my wife's coming getting ready to sing is that the harvest must be reaped by you going to it. The harvest won't come to you. Amen? If we're going to reap a harvest in this last day, it's not going to be because we just sit and wait for it to come to us. Amen? We've got to get out and get busy reaping. Amen. It's so good to see each and every one. Brother Stauffer has already said how wonderful it is to have people from different places. And we welcome all of you in the name of the Lord. Appreciate you coming. I know that there's people from all kinds of different churches. I'm not going to try to name them all myself. I do want to say a quick thank you to everybody that has done their best to accommodate us this week. And wasn't the food good here last night? I saw everybody enjoying that. We appreciate that. And Brother Dwayne took us out today. My family and I provided a wonderful meal for us, and we appreciate him doing that. Last night, Sister Ginger sent us home with a beautiful peach pie, and we had peaches and corn on the cob and all kinds of good stuff. And how many of us preachers like to eat, too? Amen. Sometimes more than other people do, but we're so appreciative of all that you folks have done for us to make us welcome and accommodated. But let's get in here tonight in one mind and one accord. I believe the Lord wants to do something among us. So why don't you just go ahead and make yourself willing. Say, Lord, what you want to do with me tonight, I'm available. Amen. Help us as we sing. Hallelujah.
I've done a little rearranging. Noah had no idea, but he doesn't like to play these really fast songs. And this song has been on my heart for the past couple days, ever since we got here. And I opted out last night, so I thought, that's not an option tonight. So I better go ahead and sing what's on my heart, and I love singing with these girls because they can just hop in and do whatever they've got to do. So I'm going to take the lead, and they can find their parts. And you just worship the Lord with us. Let's have church tonight. I love him so much. I've had a lot of troubles and trials in my little lifespan. But when I'm standing alone and the battle gets hot, I always do the best I can. I must have crossed 100 valleys and I've shed 1,000,000 tears. But when I come to the river of Jordan, hallelujah, then I'll have no fear. Oh, then I'll have no fear. 'Cause I've got one more river to cross. Oh, one more mountain to climb. One more valley that I gotta go through. Leave it my troubles behind. One more battle with the devil, and then I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah, holding to his nail-scarred hand. Holding to his nail-scarred hand. There's been a lot of people talk about me since I walked this narrow way. It's just another little valley. I came through it when I prayed. I've climbed a lot of high mountains and I've crossed a lot of little streams. When I see old Jordan cold and dark, that'll be the last for me. Oh, that'll be the last for me. 'Cause I've got one more river to cross. Oh, one more mountain to climb. One more valley that I gotta go through. Leaving my troubles behind. One more battle with the devil, then I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah. Holding to his nail-scarred hand. Holding to his nail-scarred hand. There's been a lot of people talk about me since I walked this narrow way. It's just another little valley. I came through it when I prayed. I've climbed a lot of high mountains, and I've crossed a lot of little streams. But when I see old Jordan cold and dark, that'll be the last for me. Oh, that'll be the last for me. 'Cause I've got one more river to cross. Maybe one more mountain to climb. One more valley that I gotta go through, leaving my troubles behind. One more battle with the devil, and I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah. Holding to his nail-scarred hand. Holding to his nail-scarred hand. Oh, I've got one more river to cross. One more mountain to climb. One more valley that I gotta go through, leaving my troubles behind. One more battle with the devil, and then I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah. Holding to his nail-scarred hand. Holding to his nail-scarred hand. Oh, I've got one more river to cross, and one more mountain to climb. One more valley that I gotta go through, leaving my troubles behind. Oh, one more battle with the devil, and I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah. Holding to his nail-scarred hand. Holding to his nail-scarred hand. Had a lot of people talk about me since I walked this narrow way. It's just another little valley. I came through it when I prayed. I've climbed a lot of high mountains, and I've crossed a lot of little streams. But when I see old Jordan cold and dark, that'll be the last for me. That'll be the last for me. Oh, I've got one more river to cross, and one more mountain to climb. One more valley that I gotta go through, leaving my troubles behind. One more battle with the devil, then I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah. Holding to his nail-scarred hand. Holding to his nail-scarred hand. Oh, I've got one more river to cross. Oh, one more mountain to climb. One more valley that I gotta go through, leaving my troubles behind. And one more battle with the devil, then I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah. Holding to his nail-scarred hand. Holding to his nail-scarred hand. Had a lot of troubles and trials in my little lifespan. But when I'm standing alone and the battle gets hot, I always do the best I can. I must have crossed 100 valleys, and I've shed a million tears. But when I come to the river of Jordan, hallelujah, then I'll have no fear. Oh, then I'll have no fear. 'Cause I've got one more river to cross. Oh, one more mountain to climb. One more valley that I gotta go through, leaving my troubles behind. And one more battle with the devil, and I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah. Holding to his nail-scarred hand. Holding to his nail-scarred hand. Oh, I've got one more river to cross. Oh, one more mountain to climb. One more valley that I gotta go through, leaving my troubles behind. And one more battle with the devil, and I know he'll understand. I'm going through with Jesus, hallelujah. Holding to his nail-scarred hand. Holding to his nail-scarred hand.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank God. Thank you. One of these days, you and I all to have the expectancy that it's just going to be one more. Hallelujah.
You and I don't know when the Lord's coming back, but I believe it's soon.
Man, I wish some of y'all really believed that. I believe it's soon. And if we believe it that way, there ought to be something in us that says, devil, you better throw your best shots while you got the time. Because it ain't going to be long, and I'm going to be in a place where I'm untouchable. And the fact is right now I've already won the battle anyway, because I've already been saved. All I've got to do is stand here. The war's already been won. I just got to wait, stand, believe, and know that God's already won, and I know that the Lord's going to carry me through. Amen. I'm thankful for that. I appreciate them helping my wife sing, and I appreciate my extended family, and that's what Jen is, and I guess Jana has to be in there somewhere. But we appreciate them coming tonight. Good to have each and every one. If you want to read with me tonight, I'll be reading from Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53, I do want to say again how thankful I am to have everybody here tonight. We appreciate you coming, taking time. Your busy schedule, I know it's a unique setting. I know that it's different and that sometimes brings people out. But this is still a sanctuary tonight. A sanctuary, just by definition, it's a safe place. You can run in there, not be afraid, not worry. This is a safe place here tonight. thought about it today. We had a lot of just different things. If I was to tell you about my day, it'd probably upset you, so I'm not going to tell you. But there's times that you get calls that are just rough, and you hear things that are sad. And all the while, what you know is that if you can just get to the sanctuary, you get where God's presence is. And all of a sudden, you get a different perspective. Amen. There's a lot of times we get what we call perspective vision, and we look at our troubles, and because we're right up close and so near to them, they seem to be so large. But then you get a real good vision of who God is, and in comparison, how big He is to our troubles. And man, do I just want to raise my hands and say, thank God that I know Him. Amen. Glad that He is much bigger than anything I could ever face or go through. We've counted it a privilege to get to be here every night. I pray the Lord helps us tonight. If there's one lost, I don't want to make you uncomfortable. I want you to know that you're our special guest. If you don't know the Lord, we want you to be here more than anybody else, because we want you to know God and get introduced to Him in a way that He wants to introduce Himself to you. Amen. We welcome everybody in the name of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 53. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. If you're there tonight, say amen. Isaiah 53, verse 1. The Bible says, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. I don't know if you understand what the writer is saying, but he is saying that you and I esteemed him. This is God's doing. Must have been deserving of this. Must have been why he had to die this way. Must have been why he was afflicted this way. But it goes on to say in verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He didn't die for his own sins, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Our peace came with a price. And with his stripes, we are healed. Those stripes we were healed by, the devil thought he was wounding him. The devil thought he was adding insult to injury by not just killing the Son of God, but 39 stripes he took upon his back. And with every stripe, though the devil thought he was the victor, what he didn't know is every time he laid a stripe on there, it was for cancer. It was for AIDS. It was for diabetes. It was for lost souls. It was for our healing. Hallelujah. By his stripes we are healed. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. This great prophecy of Isaiah, of our Lord. I want to read just this last part of verse 7 again. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Who hath believed our report? And whom, to whom, is the arm of the Lord revealed? Here's what you and I understand as Isaiah is prophesying of a Christ that he has not yet seen. He's speaking of a sacrifice that's going to take place for the sins of all man, for all humanity. And yet while he speaks this, he has never laid eyes on Jesus Christ himself. To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who's believed the report? There's some of us here tonight that we're saved by faith alone. There's been a transformation in us. And though we've never laid eyes on Jesus Christ, there's something in us that says, one day I will. Hallelujah. I want to preach tonight, God helping me for just a little while. I want to preach about this Lamb. Because I see Isaiah being one of the first to ever coin the phrase and actually make it known to you and I that this Lamb was not a lamb, but was a man. I believe there's a revelation tonight that God wants to give you and I of who this Lamb really is. A little bit at a time, He wants to reveal Himself to us. Say, Matt, I'm going to preach, God helping me for just a little while, on the revelation of the Lamb. I'm going to ask my wife to get ready to pray and ask the Lord to have His way in this service. I'm going to ask you, would you open up your mouths with her and let's pray together. Let's believe God to have His way in this place. Would you do that? Let's ask God to have just what He wants done, accomplished in this service. Would you pray, Holly? Hallelujah.
You chase away every fear, place within us a consolation. What you're about to do among us, peace of God that passes all understanding, settle in every mind. Oh God, have your way in this house, anoint my mind. Let the burden that is in my heart coordinate, God, with the words of these lips. God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Holy God, holy God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody said amen. I want to tell us something tonight. If I could preface this message, preface this message as I tried to make sure I was saying that word right earlier, asking my wife, how many is glad they got a good wife that knows a little more English than you do? Amen. I want to take a moment and just preface this sermon with this thought, that God allows timing to be something that is very instructive in everything that He does. You look around, and for you and I tonight, I find that His timing is everything in our life. Some of us, we look back and we wonder why we weren't saved before we were. And for some of us, we can say it was honestly just because we rejected the truth. We ran from the call and the bidding of God. But at times we look back and we see that God was instructive and working even in our life when we were not His child. He was having something to do. He had something to do with what was going on in our life, even though we were not yet something that belonged to Him. I'm going to tell us, as I look at this, I find that God's Word itself is a progressive Word. I find that from the very beginning of time, we find in Genesis that it is instructive to know that when He spoke, let there be light, that not all of the light the world would ever need was something that just burst into flame and was right there at that time. But it is progressive, it is ongoing, it is eternal, and it is perpetual. I want to say that again. God's Word to you and I is progressive. It is ongoing. It is perpetual. It is eternal. It is something that is moving and working every day of our life. Can I tell you, the sun rose this morning, not because God said again, let there be light, but because over 6,000 years ago, He said, let there be light, and God's Word is still being worked in our life even today. You and I are being affected by the Word of God that was spoken years ago. Can I tell you that I find this to be something that if you and I really get it right in our mind, you won't ever worry about when God makes a promise to you, but you'll just be able to stand on His promises and say, because God said it, it's going to happen. And it's not just going to affect me, but it's going to affect the whole world around me. Can I tell you tonight, as I look at this, I don't believe that because God's Word is progressive and because it is ongoing,
going. I don't believe that he reveals all truth to anybody at once. But I believe that as you and I can handle it in stages and in increments, I believe God begins to reveal things to our minds as we need it. There is some of us that if we'd be honest, we felt like we learned it all until once again God opened up a new revelation. That's what's wonderful about the God that you and I serve is it never gets old reading His Word, because every time you read it, there's a new revelation. He's opening another door. He's revealing something new to you about Himself. Can I tell you, there's still aspects of God that humanity has not even christened across the top yet. There's still aspects of God's power and His anointing that you and I have not even scraped the cream off the top of what God wants to do. I still believe that there's still aspects of revival that you and I have not yet enjoyed yet, because God's timing is working it. He's holding some things back just for the right time. Can I tell some of you that's waiting on a miracle? It's going to happen. It's going to take place, but God has reserved the timing of that miracle for Himself. Some of you are waiting on a loved one to be saved. I believe you ought to look at it again as it's going to happen. I believe just as much as His Word was powerful back then, it's powerful today. And I'm standing here in faith believing that in God's time, God's going to do exactly what I need Him to do. This progressive word, I believe, is important, because if we knew everything about what we knew now, can some of us be honest and say, if I knew that my family was going to treat me the way they have, I don't know if I'd be where I am right now. But because God has revealed Himself to me a little bit at a time, I'm where I am today, and I found out that I can handle it because His Word always comes through. Can I say that again? Some of us, if we knew how rough the road would have been ahead and the hardships and the trials that we'd have had to face, many of us would have walked away and said it wouldn't be worth it. I'm not going to take that road. I'm not going to go that way. It's supposed to be easier than that. It's supposed to be more simplistic than that. But I've come to tell you that I have come to find through the revelation of God's Word that it's been worth every effort. It's been worth every mile. I don't regret a mile that I've traveled for the Lord. I don't regret living for Him. I don't regret laying down the world and taking up my cross. No, I've come to tell you, I have resided to allow the timing of God to just simply be at work in my life. Can I tell you, because timing is everything, God didn't reveal His Son as the Lamb right off. If you study the Word of God, you'll find that there was just types and shadows of this in the Old Testament. If we went all the way back to Genesis, we'd find that in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve was the first individuals to ever sin. And through that sin, what they found is that they were ashamed of their sin, ashamed of the consequences of it. And therefore, after their sin and their shame, what did they want to do? They wanted to cover themselves up. They got some leaves and they tried to cover their nakedness and tried not to discover their shame to God. But how many understands, like all of humanity, they first found out that you cannot cover your own sin. It's going to take me a minute to get where I'm going tonight, but just hang with me a moment. I'm going to tell you, there ain't one of us that has the ability to pull the wool over God's eyes. There is no character so slick and so full of finesse that they're able to just simply pull the wool and God not know. Can I tell you, it's the same with God's people. I believe that our spirit will bear witness with the spirits that are right and that are of God. I believe there ought to be something in us that says, Lord, help us all to come to this realization and come to it quick, that there's no need for me to put forth any effort to cover up my own sin, for the only one that can cover sin is God Almighty. I find that it was God in chapter 3 that took an animal, an unknown animal, as He walked in the cool of the day coming to meet Adam and Eve. I may need a paperweight, brother, before this service is over. As I find this, here's what I want to tell you, is that God comes at the cool of the day, and as He walks through the garden, it's God that takes the initiative, and He kills an animal. He skins that animal, unnamed, unknown to you and I what it was, and He gave that animal skin to Adam and to Eve to cover up their nakedness. Can I tell you, it was the first example that you and I would understand that by principle, it is God and Him alone that is able to cover the sins of man. God, help me tonight to preach this and make it real to everybody in this room. All of your efforts will be in vain to try to cover your own sin. But I've got good news. It wasn't man that initiated it, but it was God that initiated the blood sacrifice of a lamb, of some unknown animal in this very garden. And what became real to you and I is this simple truth that only by the shedding of innocent blood can a man cover the shame of his sins. Can I tell you that I find that this first principle was then reiterated in chapter 4. Adam and Eve had two boys, Cain and Abel. Cain came bringing a sacrifice of fruit of the land. But we find Abel brings a sacrifice and it is accepted. Can I tell you the reason why this is the first time that a lamb is actually mentioned? This is the first time that a lamb is mentioned as being used as something that would be suitable for there to be sins removed. Let me read it to you in Genesis chapter 4. I find where Abel comes to God. He also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. The fact that Abel's offering was accepted was because it was a blood sacrifice based on the previous knowledge of chapter 3. Somewhere in time, mom and dad had imparted to Abel that it takes a blood sacrifice to cover your sin. It ain't good enough to just bring what you've made or what you've created and try to cover it. It takes the innocent shedding of blood to cover your sins. It is a guiltless sacrifice that is required. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, as I read this, I began to understand that it wasn't just early on in the Bible, but then I found that in delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt, I began to find that He commanded, God Himself commanded that a lamb would be slain. Not any lamb, but a lamb of the flock that was a male without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Some lamb that could be used for that sacrifice. And they would take the blood of that lamb and they would put it on the lintel on the doorpost and that death angel would pass over. Can I tell you, it was at this point that man began to realize the personal benefits of this blood sacrifice. Man, I wish some of us would come alive tonight and understand that you and I, just like these individuals that came out of bondage and were living, though they should have been dead, it was covered by the sinless sacrifice of a lamb that was given, that innocent. Can I tell you, you and I as believers can stand here tonight and say, because we have applied the blood of Jesus Christ to the doorpost of our heart, to the doorpost of our soul, I stand here tonight completely covered, and I am unashamed of what I did in my past, because what God has saved me from, He has covered me, He has cleansed me, He has made me new. That lamb has made it possible that I can stand without shame in the presence of Almighty God. This lamb and its personal benefits was something that went on, and for years lambs were slain. Thank you, Lord, for that breeze. I don't care if it is blowing my paper. And as lamb after lamb was slain, not just the lambs that were left over, not the ones that were gimpy or crooked or lame, but the very best of the flock, firstborn, innocent, that they died for years. But then when I find man doing his best to cover his sin, cover his wrong with the sacrifice of some innocent blood, I find in Isaiah begins to speak. And Isaiah reveals through God that this lamb would not just be another artificial, temporary sacrifice, but that this lamb that God had intended was not a lamb, but was as a lamb, but a man. A spotless man. Virgin born. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. A lamb that would come to humanity, see its need of covering for all the shame. This lamb would cover the shame and die once and for all, for the sins of every generation, past, present, and future. What I find is as Isaiah begins to prophesy about this spotless, innocent man that would die for the sins of the world, I find that it is still centuries that went by before this man was ever revealed. I believe that there was no doubt, just like we've got followers of preachers today, I believe there was probably individuals that believed Isaiah. They probably believed what he said. They probably held on to the scripts that he had written down and believed that in the future there would be that prophecy fulfilled, that man that would show up, but they didn't know who it was. They had no idea where. They had an inkling where he'd come from. They had an idea of where he'd be born through prophecy, but they didn't know who this man would be. Can I tell you that as centuries pass by, oh, the expectation, no doubt, as men now going through bondage, being carried away into slavery, watching their families die, watching the sins of their nation become a reality to the point that their own children were paying for the sins of their older generations. Can I tell you, oh, the expectation as individuals waited. When will this lamb show up? When will this lamb arrive? When will this become a reality? When will these sacrifices of just regular lamb cease? When will it happen? But I find that centuries later, there's a star that shows up over Bethlehem. There's strange things that begin to happen. Old women like Elizabeth and old men like Zechariah start having babies. They have a son named John, and John goes into the wilderness, comes back out prophesying that he is the forerunner, prophesying that Jesus Christ is coming, prophesying that that lamb is about to show up. I can read to you in John chapter 1 as he is baptizing right along Jordan. I find in verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he said it. After all these years, after all the expectation, after all the prophecy, after all the waiting, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. It was more than just Jesus, his cousin, that was walking up those shores. But he said, behold, through divine revelation, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I don't know about you, but it excites me to know that that Lamb was revealed over 2,000 years ago. And we can shout, and we can sing, and we can look forward with hope and expectation because of the Lamb that was revealed. Somebody raise your hands. Ask God to have His way. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Jesus come walking down in the water, insisting John to baptize him. John says, I have need be baptized of you. And he says, no, not so, not right now. John looks at him, knowing that there's a change turning in history. It's more than just a cousin. But as he takes his back and his hands, gets ready to baptize him, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the Spirit of the Holy Ghost begins to descend in the form of a dove. And a literal voice comes out of heaven and says, behold, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Folks, this is not a fairy tale. This ain't a story. This is documented history. Oh, you got to hear me. It's documented history. And as John baptized Jesus that day, the next day he sees him walking again and just had to verify it, and he said it again. Behold, the Lamb of God. Can I tell you that what I see is that even though he was there in the flesh and there was a revelation, finally there he was. But can I tell you, though sight was there and individuals could see the fulfillment of prophecy, there was still something in them that wanted to doubt. He walked and lived among them. He died on a cross. When went to a grave, was resurrected, walked around and was seen for 40 days before he ascended, and some of them still never got the picture. They never caught the vision. They never allowed him to be revealed to them until he was there and he was gone. Can I tell you right here tonight, I believe it's the same way in 2012 that he walks among us. His presence is here. And many times we spend all the efforts in vain trying to cover up, trying to do our best to make it right in ourselves. But I've come to let you know, you don't need a covering. You need the Lamb. The Lamb is here. The Lamb is available. The Lamb is calling you. Come unto me, all you that are weak and weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I can cover your sin. In perfect time, God revealed who that Lamb was. God held back through years of destruction and waste in Jerusalem. He waited for just the right time to reveal that Lamb. I've come to tell some of you that are here tonight, God's been waiting for just the right time to reveal Himself to you in a greater way. I'm not done preaching tonight, but can I stop right here for just a minute for an intermission and say, how many could be honest enough to say this? I need to be revealed a greater revelation of Jesus Christ. There's three or four that's interested. I want to know Him better than I know Him right now. In the day that I'm living in, I need a closer walk. I need a closer communion. I need a greater revelation of this Lamb. Can I tell you, many times it comes in good news, and we just like Thomas, we doubt it. 7 days. For 7 days, Thomas had heard the good news. That just last Sunday, Jesus was here. Matter of fact, we had the doors locked, and here all us apostles sit, weary and scared. Jesus come walking through the wall. His first words, Brother Christie, was peace be unto you. And Thomas says, I don't believe it. Unless I see with my eyes, unless I behold His hands, see the nail prints, thrust my hand into His side, I won't believe. Jesus could have said, too bad, Thomas. You should have been here. But that's not what I read. I find that 8 days later, He comes back to the same place. And this time Thomas is there, Brother Duane. And He walks in, and I believe this. I believe it's just for Thomas alone. And as He walked in, He walked straight to Thomas. And He says, put your hands in mine. Behold my nail prints. Stick your hand in my side. Can I tell some of us here tonight that God doesn't owe us a special visit? His word's been given, and it's there for us to believe or walk away and deny. You're not owed a special FedEx angel that comes down and knocks on your door and says, hey, heads up, God's for real. Nobody's owed that. But can I tell you tonight that in spite of the fact that there's been many generations that has rejected His presence, that's rejected His word, I believe just like He paid Thomas a special visit, I believe that He still walks through houses. I believe He comes in old edifices like this, in this barn, and He walks in between the aisles of these haystacks, and He begins to knock on hearts and begin to tug on hearts and knock on doors. What's He doing? He's telling you the same thing that He told Thomas. I'm here because you weren't there. You didn't see me back then, but I'm trying to reveal myself to you in a greater way. God, help me preach this right here. Some of us have not yet seen Him. The only benefit we know is that He can cover my sin, but He's much more than a covering. He's a friend. He's a king. He's a brother. He's a friend that never leaves nor forsakes. You and I need a greater revelation of who this Lamb really is. Thomas declared with his own mouth, my Lord, my God. Now that you're here, I've seen you, I've touched you, I believe you. But Jesus said this. He said unto him, Verse 29 of chapter 20 of John. Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. There's nothing wrong with Thomas wanting some visual confirmation. And I wish some of us would get that hungry here tonight. I want to believe, but I want to see him. I want to touch him for myself. I want to feel more than just this breeze. I want the wind of the Spirit to wrap my soul up. Nothing wrong with wanting that visual confirmation, but what I find is that he revealed to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. But then he went on to talk not to Thomas, but to you and me. You may want to hear a message to you individually from over 2,000 years ago. He said this, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. There's things that I have not seen. I have seen some miracles in my life. But there's some things I have not seen. But Brother Stauffer, I still believe. Never laid my eyes on that Lamb of God. Never touched Him with my hands. But I have spoken to Him. And He has heard my prayer. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost in this room. I have been all by myself. Not in the audience of some big large group making a lot of noise trying to get His attention. But all by myself in a room. I've spoken to Him. And I've heard Him speak to me. I've never seen Him, Sister Ro, but I believe. Can I read this to you tonight right before I close and let you know there's a special blessing for you and I. But I want to tell you, it's not always going to be sight unseen. It's not always going to be for us looking, hoping that one day that lost son or daughter will come in. Won't always be us praying for that lost dad or that lost mother. It won't always be that we're just idly standing by saying, Lord, I'm walking by faith and not by sight. But I read in my Bible later on in that same book. And I tell you, right in 1 John, 1 John, as I read in 1 John chapter 3, here's what I want to tell you. Everybody probably can quote it. Verse 2 of chapter 3 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Is anybody excited here tonight that you're no more a foreigner? As I preached last night, I know that I am a son of God. I'm not a stranger to Him, but I am His son. I cry, Abba Father, through that Spirit of Jesus Christ. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But listen now. But we know that when He shall appear, not if He appears, not I hope He appears, but when He appears. Man, I've come to preach to a church that I hope is watching and waiting and looking for that appearing of Jesus Christ. That when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Hallelujah. I don't know how that makes you feel, but it excites me to know one day I shall behold Him. I'll look Him dead in the eye, and I'll see the eyes of He that gave His life for mine. It dates over years and years, and since race back, that revelation of the Lamb has become real, a reality, but it's going to get more real every day when Jesus gets sweeter than the day before, because a new layer is peeled back. I get to know Him a little better than I did yesterday. I know we felt God's presence last night, but something in me says, let me draw nearer. Let me see You in a better way. Give me another revelation of that Lamb tonight. As you stand with me all over this building. That Lamb that was slain. Revelation says before the foundations of the world. When we were just a thought. Before we ever existed. When the devil thought he had man in a pinch and God in a corner. Figured he had put him in a place where he'd have to destroy what he loved the most because God wouldn't allow sin to be in His presence. The Bible lets us know that even from Genesis, we can read in Revelation at the very end that God had a plan placed in motion. Before the devil could ever deceive a woman and a man and then fall to our demise as humanity, God had slain a lamb from the foundation of the world.
Can I tell you tonight that you and I need a greater revelation of Jesus Christ? I don't believe it'd be as easy to sin if we knew that He was ever present, always watching. I don't believe it'd be as easy to hate if we knew how much He had forgiven us, how much He loved us. What a great revelation of who He is. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight. Maybe the girls would come back, Holly, Jen. However you all want to do it, begin playing something. I want to talk tonight to you as individuals. I've preached these last three nights from my heart. I've done my best to encourage the church. I want you to know that we're a part of something that's great and magnificent and large. I believe we ought to be growing. I believe that. I preached that last night. But what I've come to let us know is that the only way for us to grow is when we get a burden to have a revelation of Jesus in a better way. That book of Revelation shouldn't be a scary book to us, as we just understand that it's a deeper revelation, a revealing of who Jesus really is. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed and saints are praying right now. I want to ask, is there one among us that doesn't know God? You say, I go to church, preacher, I attend somewhere, but have you been born again? You say, I'm doing my best to change my ways and become a different individual and leave my past behind me. Yeah, but has God covered your sins with the blood of His Son? I'm going to tell you again, all of your efforts are in vain. You can look just like a Christian. You can walk around and act just like a Christian. But unless you've been born again and Jesus Christ has come into your life, it's just actions that are in vain. You'll still go to bed at night feeling like a sinner. I'm going to tell you, you don't have to go to bed feeling that way. You don't have to walk out of this building not feeling like a part of the family of God. You don't have to leave here and feel like you don't belong. You don't have to feel like you ain't got a family that loves you. You ain't got to walk away from here feeling like you've done too many wrongs to ever make it right. You just need a revelation of the Lamb. There's some of you here tonight that are saved, but you feel like you've made too many mistakes. And you're just hoping that you can outweigh them with all the good that you're doing now. I've come to tell you, that same blood that covered you the first time, still available. It's not just for the sinner, it's for the backslider. It's for he, for she that has walked away and needs covering again. There's enough blood for each and every one. I'm going to ask you tonight, if you don't know the Lord, if you've not given your life to Christ, if you've not officially made it effective, made it known to the world around you, I've given my life to Him. We're extending you an invitation tonight. Whoever you may be, I'm asking you to come up to this altar. Allow this preacher to lead you in a sinner's prayer. We'll pray together. We'll believe God to save your soul, to make you new. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. I've come to tell you, there's a new life that's awaiting with new beginnings. You just got to let go of the past. Every once in a while you can say, well, I feel pretty good right now. Every once in a while you got to let go of the good so you can have the great. Every once in a while you got to walk away from that that seems to be almost perfected, to wrap your arms around that that is perfected. God's here tonight and He's ready to reveal Himself to you. If you don't know the Lord, I'm asking you, would you be the first to come? Would you be the first to come and say, I want to be saved. I want a revelation of this Lamb. I want to know Him. I want to know Him. Is there any tonight? I'm going to tarry just a moment. They're getting ready to sing. I know that there's festivities. I know that there's all kinds of things that's going to be going on. But can I tell you, there's something in this room that feels better than just the breeze. I feel God in this place. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. He's here seeking to save that which was lost. That Lamb that was slain. He's here revealing Himself to you. Knocking on that heart. Before you and I really realized what that Lamb was, God initiated it in the garden. He's here to cover your sin. He's here to blot it out. To wash you and make you whiter than snow. Is there one? Is there anybody here tonight? You say you're extending this, holding it too long. It'd be worth it for one to be saved. Saints, are you praying? Are you praying? If there's not anybody here tonight, I'm not going to tarry long. If there's not one that's lost,
I'm going to assume that everybody here is saved. That everybody's met Jesus Christ for themselves. But now I'm going to extend an altar call for those that you know Him. But you want a greater revelation. God, I want you to pull back another layer. Expose yourself to me in a brand new way. God, reveal yourself in your word. Reveal yourself to me in this prayer that I'm about to pray. Help me to lean on you in a greater way. I'm asking for some of the elders to be the first that would just be honest and say, I want to see Him in a brand new light. I want a greater revelation. There's some that's coming right now. Who else is going to come right to this altar and say, I want a greater revelation. I want a deeper experience of what I'm feeling. I want a greater understanding of what I already know. I want a deeper truth revealed to me. I've got to know Him in a better way. I know Him that I know that I know Him the way I know Him now, but I got to know Him better than I know right now. Jesus, I need you. Come on, church. Come on, come on. I'm making this invitation to every physical body. If you can move tonight, if you're saved, this altar's open for you. Come on, let's get up here. Let's pray together. Let's believe tonight. God, I want a revelation. I want a deeper understanding. Reveal yourself to me in a greater way.
And then He placed my feet on solid ground.
Come unto me.
It makes me want to shout.
That's His cry. Come unto me.
Hallelujah.
Come unto me.
Jesus.
Come
Lord,
on, church.
You're worthy of all
I gotta
the
know
glory,
you better, Lord.
All the honor.
I gotta know you better,
praise.
Lord. Reveal yourself in a deeper and greater way.
When I think
come on, it takes a spiritual
Lord,
heart, a spiritual understanding to know that there's more, there's higher heights,
me,
there's deeper depths,
me
there's more for you tonight.
Holy
it doesn't matter where you're from. You're welcome here tonight. Press in, let the Lord help you.
When I think about the Lord, how
church.
He picked me up and
He
turned me around,
how He placed my feet
on solid ground. Oh, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah,
thank you, Jesus.
Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Oh, it makes me want to shout.
Come on, it's
hallelujah.
Out.
I thank you, Jesus. Lord,
the
you're worthy
of
all the glory,
whosoever.
All the honor,
whosoever.
And all the praise.
Whosoever includes you tonight.
Oh, and when I think about the Lord, how He went away to prepare
on,
a place, and He's coming back someday.
I got to know You in a better way.
Take me
reveal Yourself
away.
To me, God.
And when I think about heaven, no more sickness or death, there will be no
come
more
on,
pain.
Church,
we'll all worship up
there
on holy ground.
Oh,
it makes me want to shout, hallelujah.
Thank you,
Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And when I think about the Lord, oh, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, and then He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up and He turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground. Oh, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Oh, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, I thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Oh, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, I thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. When I think about the Lord, and how He went away to prepare a place, and He's coming back someday.
Come on, come on.
Oh, to take me away. And when I think about heaven, no more sickness or death, there will be no more pain. We'll all worship up there on holy ground.
Whoa,
oh,
it makes
me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Oh, it makes me want to shout, oh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Oh, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, how precious is the flow. Oh, that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, it's nothing but the blood of Jesus. I know how precious is the flow. Oh, that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, it's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for my sins atone. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. And not of good that I have done. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, how precious is the flow. Oh, that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, it's nothing but the blood of Jesus. I know how precious is the flow. Oh, that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, it's nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of my Jesus. And this is all my righteousness, oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, how precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, it's it's nothing but the blood of Jesus. I know how precious is the flow, oh, that makes me what I know. No other fount I know, it's nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. And this is all of my righteousness. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, that makes me what I know. No other fount I know, it's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, what can wash away my sins? It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Oh, nothing but the blood of my Jesus. I'm singing, oh, how precious is the flow. Oh, that makes me what I know. No other fount I know. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, how precious is that flow. Oh, that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, it's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Well, it's nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Why don't we just praise Him tonight for the blood?
I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. Oh, well, one day when I was lost, Jesus died upon that cross. And I know it was the blood for me. Oh, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. Well, one day when I was lost, Jesus died upon that cross. And I know it was the blood for me. Oh, I know it was the blood. Yes, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. Oh, one day when I was lost, Jesus died upon that cross. And I know it was the blood for me. Oh, well, one day when I was lost, Jesus died upon that cross. And I know it was the blood for me.
Again, the encouragement, amen, the presence of Almighty God, amen. You know, we could come here and gather and we could greet one another, but if the Lord wasn't here, our gathering would be in vain, amen. But He's the center of our attention tonight. We look to Him and we want to thank Him and give Him the praise for what the Lord has done here in our midst once again. So once again, why don't we lift our voice? Let's give Him the honor and glory that's due unto Him tonight. And Father, Lord, we want to thank You, Lord. Lord, for the Word, God, for Your help, Your strength, and Lord, for what You have done, and for, Lord, Your servant tonight that has brought forth the Word, Lord, to feed our hungry hearts and souls. And Lord, You said that we hunger and thirst for the righteousness.